It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. I appreciate y'all coming out, and I know the pastor's not here, but I'm glad the Lord's still here. I'm glad he didn't take the Lord with him. I'm glad that he's not that big, but I'm thankful that the Lord's here, and I appreciate everything that has been said so far. I appreciate the good songs that we've heard. I appreciate that God's able, and I appreciate that he is still on the throne, and he still has all power in heaven and earth. And I'm glad that we can just trust in his word. So much to be in prayer for. I'll give you a few prayer requests, and then I'll preach the message, and we'll go home. I know it sounds like I'm loud. Am I loud tonight? Or is it just... Is it fine? Okay. Who said that? Oh, no. Miss Mary said that she had a song and she was going to sing, and I was sitting over there beside of her, and I leaned over and I said, "You just want to go on up and sing once a youth choir?" She said, "Yeah, I'll go ahead and go on up." And I said, "Well, you want to go ahead and preach while you're up there?" So she wouldn't do that. She sung the song, but she said, "I'll just leave the message to you." But I appreciate that song. I'm glad that the Lord's able to heal all wounds. And she was talking about in that song, it says, talking about the broken pieces of our heart. And so many times, I'm glad the Lord can put those pieces back together. But let's just make sure that he has all the pieces once we give it to him. Let's make sure we don't keep some of those pieces back and just give him, you know, 7/8 or 9/10. But let's make sure he has all the pieces and he can put it back together. But I don't know about you, but if you're ever trying to solve a puzzle and you're missing some pieces, it's never going to be whole. But I'm glad if he has all the pieces, I'm glad he can put it back together. But... some prayer requests. Be in prayer for Brother Kenny. His surgery went good Monday. Everything went as expected, so you pray for him that he would have a quick recovery. And he'll be in the hospital for about 14 to 30 days. So you be in prayer for him as he the Lord touches him. And the family is requesting no visitors at this time. So let's honor their wishes. And I talked to him earlier today, and Ms. Shirley, and they said to tell the church they love and appreciate y'all, and that they're going to miss not being here. But they said that they'll be praying for you and for the pastor and for everybody here. And for you, do the same for them. And I love and appreciate them. Miss Carol Bumgarner, she had surgery today at Fry down in Hickory. They did some work on her back. And they actually had her up walking around today, this afternoon. So that, I found that pretty impressive what doctors can do. Early in the morning, they had her face down, cutting on her back. And after lunchtime, she's up walking around. So you be in prayer for her. They said she would hopefully get to come home Friday afternoon or Saturday. And again, they said no visitors at this time. That they want to make sure that she has a speedy recovery. And they're going to try to increase some physical therapy and get her moving a little bit. And she might be in some pain. And let's just respect their wishes for that. And be in prayer for our pastor and Miss Cindy as they're on vacation. That the Lord would touch them and keep using them and keep them safe on the road. And I know he's enjoying his time, but I don't know about you, but he loves his church and he loves y'all. And it's good for them to get away for a little while and rest. But let's be in prayer that they would come back and just jump back in and continue to serve the Lord. But if you have a Bible, I won't mention any more prayer requests, but turn to Luke chapter number 9. I don't know, but I've always been hearing that I'm a long-winded preacher, and I've never seen it yet. I don't think I've preached a long message yet, but that wasn't funny. I don't think I've preached a long message yet, and I probably won't tonight, but I won't be up here long. I'm just going to share what God put upon my heart, and I'll go ahead and get out of the way, and we'll close and dismiss. I know some of y'all have had a long day and at work and everything, but I appreciate you coming, and I know a lot of y'all could have stayed at home, and the pastor wouldn't know, but I thank God that you have more respect toward the things of God than just to lay out when the pastor's not here. Some did, many did, but I'm glad you did it. And I'm glad that hopefully this message will speak to your heart. God gave me this thought earlier today, and I actually went home and studied it around supper time and wrote down some things. And hopefully there'll be a blessing to you. I'll be talking about the will of God. And I believe a lot of people, whenever you talk to people and you try to witness to them and try to share them and people's been saved, and I believe most of the people tonight, I don't know your heart. I only know one person that's saved in here tonight, and that's me. I don't know if, Brother Steve, I don't know you're saved. I believe you're saved. I see your fruit. Tam, I believe you're saved. And Brother Larry, I believe you're saved. But I only know for sure one person, and that's me, because I was there when it happened. But I believe that most people, that would come faithfully to church on a Wednesday night when the pastor's not there, I believe that person would be right with God. I believe they would have the Lord. And a lot of people, whenever you talk about them and talk to them about the things of God and everything and the hand of God and the plan of God in their life, they're always talking about concerning the things of God, God's will for my life. And I don't know about you, but that's something that, you know, I don't much know the will of God for my life. And I mean, it's something he's revealing to us and he's kind of breaking it down. And I heard a preacher say the will of God thing, it's like headlights. It won't shine down a mile down the road, but it'll just show you, you know, just far enough down the road that you can go get there safely. And that's exactly what the will of God is and the things of God. God will show you how much, and he'll just show you a little bit for you to take that step. And then as you get closer to him, that light will get closer and get further away, and you can keep on going. But I won't be up here long at all. But if you find your place in Luke chapter number 9, go ahead and stand, and we'll honor the reading of God's word. Be in prayer for me tonight. Luke chapter 9, we'll begin reading in verse number 23. The Bible said, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I'll read the verse one more time. It says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. With God's help, I want to preach a little while on basically being the will of God in your life, the will of God in your life. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, we come to you, Lord, at the start of another service. Lord, we thank you for already many blessings. Lord, we thank you for another opportunity, Lord, that we have to meet and gather in your house. God, I thank you for the good godly singing that we heard. Lord, thank you for stirring our hearts. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we have access, Lord, to come through you through prayer. And God, I pray, Lord, for the many prayer requests, Lord, that is upon our hearts. Lord, so much to be in prayer for the sick and the afflicted, touch them. God, I pray, Lord, for the message tonight that you put upon my heart. God, I pray you just help me. God, I pray you just, Lord, will you plead to the Lord, the shed blood of the Lamb tonight, Lord, over the service. God, I pray you just bind the enemies of hell. God, I pray you just bind the enemy. God, I pray you just use me if I'm usable. God, I pray you hide me behind the cross. Lord, I pray you just give me that unction, Lord, to stand. God, I pray I need that fresh oil that only comes from you, Lord. I pray, Lord, I want to be a mechanical preacher, but God, I pray, Lord, I want to be a fresh and a new. God, I pray, Lord, I want the Spirit of God, Lord, to fall upon me. God, I pray you anoint my lips of clay. God, I pray, Lord, I can't do anything without you. Lord, I need your touch one more time. Lord, use me if I'm usable tonight. God, I pray you just cover me in the cloak of my calling. Lord, I pray, Lord, you transform me to another man. Lord, use me tonight, Lord, for your honor and your glory. Lord, it's not about me. God, I pray we would see no man, Lord, save Christ only, Lord, and we lift him up. God, I pray, Lord, let me use, Lord, just share my heart, share my burden, Lord, that you put upon my heart with your people tonight. And God, I pray we'll be careful to give you all honor, glory, and praise. Lord, it's not about us, Lord, it's all about you. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated tonight. As I began thinking about the will of God and the things in my life and in other people's life, and talking about that, everybody's talking about the will of God. And preacher, what's the will of God concerning my life? What does God want me to do? And basically, I mean, you hear that all the time. That's one thing that young people are focused on doing, is finding the will of God. But I know a lot of adults that are still looking and searching and hunting for answers concerning the will of God in their life. And hopefully with this message, God helped me with this message, and hopefully it will help you. But what is the will of God for my life? What does God want me to do? And I don't know about you, but some of the most miserable people are Christians that are not in fellowship with God, are Christians that are backslidden, Christians that don't have that fellowship, that communion, that open access to come. And I don't know about you, but most of the time it's because sin has crept into their life. Unconfessed sin will lead to a miserable life with Christ. I don't know about you, but the Bible talks about that sin. If we have sin in our life, God will not hear our prayers. We won't be able to draw close to God. We won't have the ability to talk to him, and he won't be able to talk to us because we'll have sin in our life. And I heard it said, it's cliche to say, but this book will keep us from sin, or sin will keep us from this book. And I believe the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So I believe this book is important, that we might read this book and we can concern the will of God for my life and for your life, and that we could see exactly what God would have us to do in our church, in our life, in our jobs, whatever it is in our life. We can know the will of God and what it is in our lives. It's going to be more of a teaching message tonight, but I believe, number one, God's will for all of us, God's will for you and God's will for me is, first off, that you be saved. The Bible says that the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as men count slackness, but is long suffering that any should perish, but all come to repentance. He's not willing that any should perish. He was wanting everybody to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want anybody to perish. The first thing is, God's will for your life is that you be saved. Next is God's will that you be spirit filled. God wants you saved, but then God also wants to fill you with the Spirit. The Bible says in in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18, be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of Christians that are saved, but yet they're not Spirit filled. They're not yielded their life wholly and over to the Lord. A lot of people, they're doing their will. They're doing their agenda. They're pressing their needs. They're pressing their wants. They're concerned with what they can get and what they can be benefited by the gospel, by the church, and by what the things of God. But it's about time that we put our will behind our back. We seek after the will of God. We put God first in the house of God. We put God first in our life. We put God first in our family. We seek after the things of God. We seek after the hand of God. We seek after the face of God. We start seeking after that. And you know what? We'll start seeing God's hand in everything in our life. So many times we seek after our own will, our own personal agenda. We want our will to be performed. But you know what? I never once did I find Christ praying, Lord, I pray for my will to be done. Every time we find Christ praying, He said, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. He said, nevertheless, let this cup pass from me. But Lord, not my will, but thine be done. He prayed in the garden. He prayed in the mountains. He prayed in the morning. He prayed alone. He prayed for God's will to be done in his life. How much more if Jesus, the Son of God, if he's praying for God's will to be done in his life, how much more is me and you that the will of God will be performed in our life? We need to be saved. We need to be Spirit-filled, and only that. I tell you, I believe it would be God's will for you to be totally surrendered. You need to be saved. You need to be Spirit-filled, but not only that, you need to be totally surrendered. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and holy, acceptable, perfect will of God. I tell you, we need to be presenting our bodies back to Christ. We need to say, Lord, I know you saved me. I know you bought me with a price. Lord, I'm your body. This is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And God, I'm yielding my members of my body, my flesh. Lord, I'm giving it back to you. Lord, take me, use me, mold me, make me for your honor and your glory. Lord, I put my wants, my desires, the things of my life. Lord, I'm putting them on the back burner. Lord, I'm pushing them aside. And Lord, I'm seeking your face. Lord, I'm seeking you. I'm seeking your will. God, I want you to take me and use me for your honor and your glory. And I tell you, there are very few Christians that have come to that point in their life. I believe a lot of Christians are saved. I believe a lot of Christians are Spirit-filled. But I believe very few Christians are totally surrendered to the hand of God and to the things of God. And can I tell you, if we could ever get back to a point where we're saved and we're Spirit-filled and we're surrendered, I believe things would start picking up in the church house. I believe things would start picking up down at your house. I believe things would start picking up down at my house. I believe the Spirit of God and the hand of God would become more evident in our life. I believe that's why we're not seeing souls saved. I believe that's why we're seeing people dry up here in the church. I believe that's why we're not seeing any more tears being shed for the lost. I believe that's why we're not seeing any more people come to the altar. We're not seeing any worship. We're not seeing any praise. Why? Because very few people are fully surrendered to God. We need to be surrendered. We need to be saved. We need to be Spirit-filled. I tell you, that's the will of God in our life. I tell you, God help me to be surrendered. God help me to be Spirit-filled. I tell you, once you get saved, you get signed and sealed. I mean, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You cannot lose your salvation. The Bible says, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I say, I believe in eternal security. But you know what I believe? I believe so many times that we can get so consumed of this world, the cares of this world, and the trials and tribulations, and I mean just everything about this world, that we slowly lose the filling and the anointing of God that we have in our life. I say, we need to empty us of ourselves. We need to empty us of our sin, and the God can fill us with His Spirit. It's how much that we're yielded to Him. You see, the more that I yield myself clean, the more I yield myself over to God, the more that God can use me. The more that God can use you, the more that God can have His will performed in your life. But I tell you, if we're not yielded to the Holy Ghost, if we're not clean, living right, being consecrated, set apart for a divine work, if we're not doing those things, can I tell you, the hand of God will not be evident in your life. I believe you still can be saved, but I believe God will have to put you on a shelf. God will say, I can't use you. You see, I don't have access to you. There are things in your life that I could use. There are things in your life that I could take and mold. And I could use you as being a man. I can use you as being a woman. I could have a certain calling, a certain touch on your life, whether it be in your house or whether it be on the school or at the job. But you see, we're not yielded over to the Lord. And therefore, God said, I can't use you. I tell you, God can use a whole heart. God can use a clean heart. He can't use an unclean heart, and He can't use a half-hearted Christian. I tell you, how's your heart this morning or tonight? I tell you, does God have your all? I tell you, I want to surrender my all to the Lord. What is the will of God? First off, that you be saved, that you be Spirit-filled, then you'd be surrendered. Look in the Bible, Luke chapter 9, 23, the text verse tonight says, "And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself." I started looking up that word deny. That word deny is to deny utterly, to disown, to abstain. I mean, he's saying if we could see ourselves for what we are, he said, "I want you to push it away. I want you to just test it. I want you to disown it. I want you to get away from it." If you go back and look at what Peter did to Jesus, he denied the Lord. He said, "Lord, I know not the man." The Bible says he even cursed. That woman came up. He said, "Your speech, he said, you sound like him. You look like him. You talk like him. You're one of them." He said, "I know not the man." The Bible says he cursed. Did you know that same word denying was the same thing Peter did there? That's the same word denying. He pushed them away. He said, "I don't have any fellowship with him. I don't know nothing about the man. Me and him, we're not even close of being the same person." I tell you, that's what the Lord is wanting us to do with ourselves. The Lord wants us to just say, "Lord, I'm done with myself, my will, my agenda, my wants, my desires. Lord, I'm done with all that. I'm separating myself from my wants and my desires, my aspirations. Lord, I'm putting them aside. I'm denying those things." I tell you, very few people get to that point where they're saying, "Lord, I'm just going to put that over there. And Lord, I'm seeking you. I'm seeking your hand. I'm seeking your blessings. Lord, I'm seeking your will for my life." I tell you, I believe number one, what would help us, we need to in denying, is to realize what we are. Realizing what we are. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We're nothing more than sinners. I believe if we could just realize we're nothing more than a sinner saved by grace, that's what we are. We wouldn't be, and we're good for nothing. I believe even Paul said in Romans 7:18, "For I know that it is in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." He said, there's nothing good about Paul. There's nothing clean about Paul. He said, what you're seeing, it's nothing good. Even he said, you know, "That good that I do not. And the things which I don't do, I do." He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who's able to deliver me?" And I believe that I'm glad Romans 7's in the book showing that what Paul struggled with. You know why? It gives me confidence that I'm not alone. You see, if Paul, a great man as Paul, if he struggled with the desires of the flesh, he struggled with that flesh and what's carnal, you know what? Makes me realize I'm not alone. I'm just like him. We all have to face those things. We all have to face daily life. Why? Because we're robed in this flesh. Right. I tell you, it's a constant struggle. You see, in the things with God and the life and the spiritual and the carnal, it's a tug of war, I guess you could say. You see, the Spirit inside of me, which is the Holy Ghost, he's trying to tug me up toward God. So therefore, I got the Holy Ghost trying to push me up. I mean, he's trying to push that way. But then again, I have Chris, which is my flesh. That carnal side of me, my flesh, it's trying to pull me down. And it's constantly a struggle. My flesh is trying to get me down, and the Holy Ghost is trying to get me up, and therefore it's just pulling. But you know what? I'm glad one day I'm getting ready to lay this robe down. This body, it'll go back to the dust, it'll go back to the ground. And you know what? There's no longer going to be any more tugging on that way. You know why? The Holy Ghost will be pulling me up that way. I'm glad that battle is going to be over one day. We'll have a glorified body. We'll have one that won't have an errant thought. We'll have one that won't be able to sin. We'll have a glorified body one day. But until then, we'll constantly struggle with the flesh. We'll constantly do battle and do war with the things concerning that. Why? Because that's the way it is concerning this life that we have. The Bible says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Church, we need to deny ourselves. I believe in helping deny ourselves, we realize what we are. We're sinners. The Bible says in Psalms 103, verse number 14, "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth, but we're dust." I tell you, that's all we are on the side of God, just the dust. Our righteousness, I believe it talks about it, our righteousness is nothing more than a filthy rag. That's all we are on the side of God. But you see, we're more than that. I'm glad over there in 1 John chapter 3, it said, "Beloved, what manner of love is bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God?" I think we need to realize what we are. But then we need to remember whose we are. When you realize that we're sons of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:23, "For ye are bought with a price, being not servants of men." You see, we're bought with a price. The Bible says, "For you know not that you're not your own, for you bought with a price." The Lord purchased our part, and he purchased us on the cross of Calvary. Therefore, we don't live this life to our own. We live for him. We put him first in our life. That's what the Bible talks about over there, Galatians 2:20. He said, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but not I, but Christ liveth in me." And he says, "The life which I now live," he said, "I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." He said, "I'm crucified." He said, "You're no longer seeing Paul. You're no longer seeing what Paul wants. You're no longer seeing Paul's desires." He's saying, you're seeing what Christ wants in my life. He said, it's evident. Paul died a long time ago. In fact, Paul said, concerning himself, he said, I die daily. He said, every day I get up, I go to that cross, and I get a hammer and nail, and I crucify my flesh. He doesn't die. I know you don't. He doesn't do that literally, but that's what he's saying. He said, I go and I push myself. He said, I'm putting myself last, and I'm putting him first. He said, it's not what I want, but it's what he wants. It's not my desires, it's his desires. It's not my heart, my burdens, it's all everything to him. And I guarantee you, if we always put God first in our life, we'll never go wrong. If we always seeking after God, seeking after the hand of God and the face of God, put everything seeking him. I believe the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. If we just trust him. But you see, we have that mentality, that flesh. It wants to provide for itself. It wants to do those things. It wants to kind of a safe netting. We want to do those things. Why? Because we know we try to plan everything out. And before we push God out, we plan him aside. But you see, if we could just factor him in, if we just say, Lord, I don't know anything about nothing. Lord, I can't do anything. Lord, I'm just going to trust you. Lord, I'm going to seek after you. Lord, I'm going to just trust you with everything. Lord, with my family, Lord, with my finances, with my friends, Lord, with everything about me, Lord, I'm putting it all in your hand. And Lord, if I go under, I'm going to trust you.
Amen.
I tell you, God puts his name on the line when it comes to taking care of his children. I tell you, he said, if I can take care of the lilies of the field, if I can take care of the birds and the sparrows of the air, he said, if I can take care of them, and I can provide for all them, how much more is your Heavenly Father going to provide for you? I tell you, every star has a name, every hair has a number, every sparrow has a funeral. He knows all those things, and God's able to provide for you and for me. He's able to meet our needs if we would just trust him. But you see, that's where faith comes in. The Bible says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible says, for without faith it's impossible to please him. The Bible says that for the just shall live by faith. You say, well, what is faith? If you read Hebrews, the Bible says, for faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you can see it, would it be faith? But you see, you walk by faith. You trusting him, take him in his word. And you see through that faith that you have. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more that you read this book, the more that you hear this book, the more that you hear preaching, the more faith is going to be bestowed upon you, the more faith that you're going to have. In order to increase your faith, you know what God's going to do? God's going to send you some trials. God's going to send you some things that you'll have to pray and say, Lord, I just don't know. Am I supposed to go left or right? Or God, I just don't know. Lord, I don't have peace about this decision. God, I don't know anything about nothing. But Lord, I'm going to have faith. I think I'm going to go. I'm going to just go with you. God, I'm going to take a step of faith. I'm going to step out in the dark. And Lord, if I sink, it's going to be trusting you. And you see, as we go through life and God gives us a little amount of faith to step out, God will see that. And he will reward that faith. And you know what? God will send another thing in our way. It will pray and we'll seek the hand of God and the face of God. And you know what? God will say, this is the door. We'll open that door and we'll walk through then. You see, that's a battle. That's a everyday spiritual walk with Christ. It's all about faith. And the trying of our faith, the testing of our faith. I believe a preacher said, I believe it was Stennett Ballou, he said, a faith that cannot be tested or cannot be trusted. You see, if your faith, if it's just a lot of words, it can't be tested, it can't be backed up with anything. I tell you, it's not really much faith. I tell you, a faith that can be tested, and it stands the test of time, and it's proven to work. I tell you, it can be trusted. I tell you, that faith comes from hearing the Word of God. It comes from God himself. I tell you, denying ourselves. Remembering what we are, we're nothing sinners, saved by God. We're nothing more than dust. There's nothing good about any of us. The only good about us is Christ. Realizing whose we are, we're bought by a price. The Lord bought us, he purchased us on the cross. Look what the verse number 23 says. He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. I tell you, after we realize what we are and we realize whose we are, it'd be easier for us to put him first. It'd be easier for us to die our flesh. The Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse number 30, he must increase, but I must decrease.
Amen.
He says as he gets bigger, we're supposed to get littler. As he becomes, swells up inside of us, we're supposed to get smaller. But you know what I see? I believe a lot of people, they're dyslexic when they read that verse. I must increase and he must decrease. I tell you, I see that in a lot of churches and a lot of pulpits. He must decrease and I'm going to increase. I tell you, that's what Satan read. That's how Satan read that verse. But you know what? If a lot of Christians would put God first, we must decrease and he must increase. Number two, it says that let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. I tell you, number one, I see the denying. Number two, I see the dedication. I tell you, it says take up his cross daily. I know this ain't hard preaching, but I believe this is the gear the Holy Ghost would have me in. It's more of a teaching. I guess the pastor does teaching on Wednesdays, and I'm trying my best to follow what God has me and hopefully help you concerning the things of God and the will of God in your life. But learning to take up your cross daily and follow Him. I tell you, the Lord had a cross He had to bear. I tell you, there's no one else that could have bore that cross except Him. You see, the Bible talks about Him being the Lamb foreordained before. I mean, He was chosen before the foundation. It was going to be Him. That was going to be His cross. That was going to be His place. He stood before Pilate and He said, it was to this end I was born. I was born to die. He said, I came to die. I came to purchase them. He even said, you know, the sick, the well have no need of a physician. He said, I'm here for the sick. He said, I'm here to do the will of God. He said, I'm here to die. He said, that's why I was born. But you see, He's coming back as a conquering king, but He was here to take that cross. What is your cross? You see, that was His cross. That was His will. What is your cross? What cross are you bearing? I'm not talking about taking your cross and being crucified. Talking about spiritual sick. What is your cross? What has God got for you to carry? What is the job God has concerning you? You see, that Jesus, his will was dying on the cross of Calvary that He might pay for the sins of the world. That was His will. That was the Father's will for Christ. What is the Father's will for you? What is your cross? What does He want you to bear? You see, my cross, Tam can't bear my cross, and I can't bear Tam's cross. I can't bear Preston's cross, and he can't bear my cross. You see, the God called me to preach. I believe that's my calling in life. I've never questioned my calling. I know for sure God called me to preach. I don't doubt that. I know without a shadow of a doubt, God's called me into the ministry. I mean, I have verses to back it up. I have scripture to back it up. One of my scriptures, my life verse, is 1 Timothy 1:12. I thank God by the Jesus Christ, He enabled me, putting me into the ministry. Finding me faithful, enabling me, putting me into the ministry. I believe anything you do in life, you can back it up with the Word of God. God will give you scripture to back up everything you do in life. You know what? You take Him at His Word. I guarantee you, if you take God at His Word and He shines light, you say, Lord, I'm trusting You, and right here it is, you're not going to go under. God will see that it will work out to your good. Why? Because you're taking Him at His Word. But dedication, the God's will for Jesus' life is for Him to die. That was His cross. I tell you, what is your cross? You see, we can't bear our cross on our own. He's going to have to empower us. We're going to have the Holy Ghost help us bear that cross. Why? Because we'll crumble under the load. So therefore, if we deny ourselves, if we put what we want to the side, if we put our desires, our everything about us to the side, and we say, Lord, I'm done with myself, and Lord, I'm seeking You, I believe we would see what the cross we need to bear. And therefore, God would say, okay, you're serious about serving. You're serious about being a servant. And this is what I want you. This is what I have for your life. It might be to preaching. I mean, I don't know what it is. But I know one thing, everybody has a purpose when it comes to the things of God. You might be a prayer warrior. You might be a Sunday school teacher. You might be a choir leader. You might be a choir member. I mean, whatever it is, I don't know what it is. But I know mine is to preach. What is your cross? Hey, it might be to drive a bus. It might be a person. I mean, we're all called to be soul winners. That Great Commission wasn't just for a few, it was for all. What is your will? What is God's will for your life? We can always, it's easy for us to tell what our will is. Well, my will is to do this and go to college and graduate 4.0 and do this and do that. And that's the will I have. Very few people say, well, God's will is this. And this is what I'm seeking. I'm not seeking my life. I'm not seeking my choice. I'm seeking after God. And this is what He has for me. I say very few people seek after the will of God. Number one is denying our flesh. Number two is dedication, picking up that cross. I tell you, finding your purpose and doing it daily. And walking therein at it. That's what the Bible teaches. It says taking up His cross daily. Not taking up my cross, but taking up His cross. Taking up your cross daily. And walking in it every day. I tell you, it's not just something you pick up and lay down, pick up, lay down, pick up, lay down. But once you take it up, you keep it. And keep walking with it daily. I tell you, He will empower you to do that. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, that He that starteth a good work, He will perform. He will keep it. I tell you, I believe a lot of things that happens in our life. God gave me a couple of these that prevents us from taking up our cross. What prevents you from bearing your cross? What prevents me from bearing the cross? Number one, I believe it would be the fear. The fear of the unknown. Not knowing exactly how everything's going to play out. Not knowing exactly how, what a couple of years holds down the road. Exactly, am I going to be pastor? Am I going to be a missionary? Am I going to be doing this? Or am I going to be doing that? Am I going to be living over here? Am I going to be living over there? God, I just don't know. So therefore, I'm not going to do nothing. I tell you, but if we could walk by faith, if We could say, Lord, I'm giving everything to you. And Lord, you gave me a little spot of light. And Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to step out on that. You know what? God said, okay, I see that faith. And I'm going to honor that faith. You see, faith honored God. Faith honors God. And God honors faith. Amen. You see, if we would trust God and say, Lord, you shed a little bit of light and I just don't know. And Lord, I'm going to take a step. God says, okay, I see that. And you know what he'll do? He'll shine the light a little bit more. Okay, God, I see that, and I'm going to take another step. You see, the closer we go, the more our faith is being tested. Therefore, it can be trusting. You know what? He's drawn us closer to himself, and therefore the will of God will be evident in our lives. But you see, we just don't want to do that because why? The fear of the unknown. Well, preacher, what else? Why don't we else? Why? What prevents us? I believe the fear of being a failure. Lord, I just don't know if I can bear that cross. Lord, it's so big, I just can't do it on my own. Lord, I'm just not going to do nothing. Lord, I'm fair. I'm scared of failing. You see, we will fail if we rely on our flesh. We will fail if we try to do it ourselves. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse number 5, without me, you can do nothing. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You see, if we trust him, saying, Lord, I'm denying myself. Lord, I'm pushing myself to the side. My wants, my desires, everything about me, my aspirations, Lord, they're over here. And Lord, I'm seeking you. And okay, Lord, I see that cross you have me to bear. Lord, I know that, but Lord, I'm scared. I just don't understand. I'm scared I'm going to fail. Lord, would you help me? Lord, would you prevent me from falling? Lord, would you give me the power? Would you give me the strength? Lord, would you give me the wisdom? Lord, would you give me the guidance? You know what I believe God will do? I believe he'll do just what you ask. And therefore, he'll help you bear that burden. He'll help you succeed. He'll help you not become a failure. But what else? I believe friends and family sometimes hinder us from doing the work of God. I tell you, I believe friends and family prevents us. It hinders us. Not only that, I believe our focus sometimes hinders that cross that we bear daily. Our focus, sometimes we just focus on other things. Colossians speaks about set your affections on things above and not things of this world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. There's so much, we lose our focus. We zone out. We don't see Christ. We don't see him. We become so earthly minded that we just go to work. We walk. We don't have any care for souls. We don't have any passion when it comes to the things of God or the house of God. And therefore, we're just rocked to sleep through everyday norms. But you see, if we could ever get beyond that, just getting tired of having that same old thing, it all starts with denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following him. What are some of the things that prevents us? I already said fear, it's failure, friends, family, focus. There's several others, but that's what the Holy Ghost showed me. Can I tell you, if you could take me back 6 years, I accepted the call to preach November 24th, or October 24th, 2013. If you could take me back, Tam, and show me the day before and say, all right, well, this is what God's going to have. He's going to have you go with Brother Key down to Tampa Bay, and you're going to see this happen, and you're going to see. I just think about all the doors that God's opened in my life, everything I've seen. If I knew that God would allow me to preach in all these churches, and just all these things, I'm not bragging on myself. I'm trying to show you the illustration. If you told me the day before, all right, God's going to do this, and you're going to leave your job, and he's going to have you preach and do this, and you'll be doing a revival. I mean, all these things. I'd look at you like you're crazy. I thought, man, you just got out of Broughton, and you don't know what you're talking about. You mean God's going to do that with me? God's going to have a work like that for me to do? You're crazy. But you see, God honors faith. And with each step, trusting, walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, I don't understand. Lord, I can't preach. I don't know what to do. But Lord, I'm going to trust you. God, I'm going to put you first. And you see, whenever you take a step of faith, you might not know. You might have fear of the unknown. You might have fear of failure. You might have fear of friends and family. You might even not have a clear focus. But you know what? God honors faith, and faith honors God. Don't ever forget that. Faith honors God, and God honors faith. As you take a step, you know what? God will be with you. He'll give you grace to take another step. He'll take you another step and another step. And before long, you'll turn around and see, so God, you've done all this. And it's all by taking that first step. It's all by just trusting you. Lord, that's what it all is. When it comes down walking with God, it's all by faith. Take him at his word. You see, if you could explain it, wouldn't it be faith? If you could see it, wouldn't it be faith? But you see, God honors faith. The things that we don't understand. You see that exactly how God does. Even miracles. If you could explain a miracle, it wouldn't be a miracle. But I'm glad God still does miracles. It can't be explained. I believe the same way it's evident in our lives. He does miracles. He honors faith. And lastly, I'm done with this. We see the denying. We see dedication. Not only that, you know what else we see? I see a direction. Look at the last two words. He says, take up his cross daily and follow me. You see, we have a direction in this thing. We have a direction when it comes with the things of God and the will of God in our lives. You see, we're not just trying to wing our way back home. We're not just trying to set out and hope we finish. We're not just hoping and just saying, well, Lord, I don't know if it's this way or that way or forward or back. Lord, I just don't know. See, we're not left ourselves. I'm glad he said, I'll not leave you. He said, I have another. I'm sending a comforter there, and he'll bow with you. Paul says, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll say, I'll go with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. I'm glad he's with us every step of the way. And you know what? Whenever I take my last breath over here, and I close my eyes, I'll open my eyes over there, and my faith will end in sight. You see, all throughout life, we'll have to walk by faith. But one day, our faith will end in sight. That's what it's all about. Learning to deny ourselves. Learning to have a dedication when it comes to serving God and the things of God. Putting the fear beside. Putting the failure beside. Putting friends and family beside. Putting the focus on the world aside. And setting after Him. And not turning back. I believe that we sung that song in prison. Or someone referenced. I think Brother Scott even referenced it. Though none go with me, still I'll follow. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. I tell you, the best thing a Christian can do is burn the bridges of the world. Cut the ropes of the world. And just get away from that. I tell you, don't go back to Egypt. There's nothing good in Egypt. I tell you, there's nothing to go back to. But very few people, they try to hold on to the things of the world. And they try to hold on to the things of God. And they try to straddle the fence. But you know what? The devil owns the fence. I tell you, we just need to jump over the fence and just set out serving God. And just don't look back. I tell you, that's the best thing we can do. That's the best thing I can do. And you know what? I believe if I do what God will want me to do, and I put God first in my life, and I learn to deny my flesh, and I learn to deny myself, and I learn to have a dedication and the things to God, and I push my fear aside, I put my friends and family aside, I put the focus on the world aside, I put the focus on failure aside, and I have a clear direction going after Him. I wonder what Calvary Baptist Church would be like. I wonder what happened if you got right and you did those things in your life. I wonder what God could do with this church. I tell you, I believe God would take this church to the next spiritual level. I believe this church, it's untelling what God could do with this church. I mean, it's untelling what God could do with this church. It's untelling what God could do with you as an individual. If you just learn to surrender. If you learn to just be spirit-filled. If you learn to just be consecrated. Just give everything over to God. I believe you'd see the hand of God in your life. I say, I've been talking to some people, and they said, Richard, I don't see the hand of God in my life. It's like God's not working. It's just like He's not there. I mean, I feel like Job looking to my left and right, forward, back. It's just like He's nowhere around. I know I'm saved, and I'm trying to do things right, and it's not there. I tell you the reason you're not seeing the hand of God, because you're not leaving everything in God's hand. If you learn to just put everything aside, saying, Lord, everything about me, Lord, I'm putting it to the side. Lord, my desires, my wishes, my finances, my friends, my family, everything, Lord, it's over here. And Lord, it's all in your hands. I tell you, you'll start seeing God's hand in everything. God will take you to the next level. God will do with you what you can't do for yourself. And you'll start seeing the hand of God. I believe you even see the face of God. It'll be evident in your life. I tell you, church, where are you at tonight? Are you following after Christ? Are you following after the world? He said, follow me. All throughout the time, he said, hey, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He said, follow me. He said, look to me. Even Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He said, just follow the leader. I'm glad the leader's Christ. What are you following tonight? Preacher, I'm following my education. I'm worried about doing this and finding a job. Well, maybe my job. I'm following my job. I'm trying to follow this. I'm trying to follow my family. I said, you better be following God. I say, what are you following tonight? Who's the leader in your life? I say, the leader in my life is the Lord. I'm gonna follow Him. I'm not going back to the things of the world. I'm not going back to the world. I'm just going to decide to just go with God. I tell you, where you're at tonight. Are you saved? Are you spirit-filled? Are you surrendered? If not, you can be tonight. As Miss Macy comes, Brother Scott gets us a song. I told you I wouldn't be long tonight.